On this episode of Paisa Paisa, the year-end income tax special for all you salaried guys out there who are being chased by the HR and tax departments to declare their investments for the year-end, we've got Archit Gupta, founder and CEO at Clear Tax, who's going to help you do that. And as a bonus feature, we're going to talk about the latest budget's tax provisions of with exemptions and without exemptions. So don't go anywhere, folks. This is a really interesting discussion that's going to be super useful for you. Coming up next. Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter, and it's that time of the year yet again. If you are a salaried employee, you know, your HR or tax department is going to be bombarding you with emails to declare your investments so that they can calculate your salary for the month of March. You know, the March is the last month of the financial year. We are here to help you in exactly that, choosing how to invest for tax planning. My guest, a returning guest, in fact, because we spoke with him in July of last year, is Archit Gupta, CEO and founder at Clear Tax. Welcome back, Archit. Good to have you with us. Thank you so much for doing the show for us. Right, so let's just jump in straight to this, okay? For our listeners, at least the salaried ones, you know that, you know, they'll be getting... First, okay, let me start with this. How busy is usually Feb-March for everyone who, you know, who's on a salary? Is it really busy?
Thank you for having me back on the show again.
Good to be with you, Archit.
Good to be with you. And so now it is busy, right? Like, because if you play this correctly, you get more cash in hand in March. And if you are not correct around this, then it is a world of trouble.
Hmm. So in your experience, you know, actually, I wanted to start from there only, right? Because I've heard some cases. Now, that might not be the average case, but maybe it's, you know, maybe it's for people of a certain income bracket that they actually don't even need to do anything for claiming any deduction under Section 80C. 80C, of course, as you know, is that great law within the income tax law, which qualifies you for certain deductions from your income. So, Archit, in your experience, how many people really know their stuff about this? You know, some people actually don't need to do, some people need to do more. So how, so when people come to Clear Tax, what's your experience of their general profile?
Right. So Anupam, that's a great question. And look, I think like a lot of millennials who are like in the first job or the second job, like struggle with this a lot. Like actually our data suggests 60% millennials like do a poor job with optimizing their salary in specifically 80C and other things.
That's so a big number.
It's a big problem. Yeah. And on the higher side, what you're referring to, like, I think, like the higher income bracket folks are more savvy and we can talk about that. But like, let me start with like people don't even max out their 80C, like, which is like a straight up savings that folks could do. And so it gets me like, why do people not save? And we've been doing a lot of analysis and research, and I can talk about that later.
Yeah.
But broadly, it is important. Focus on this, get some taxes saving, and like you'll be thankful.
So let's just jump into that, right? How do I prepare for this, right? I remember when I used to be working, and when this Feb March used to come, it was total chaos. I mean, where do I start? Just help me with that. Do I need to, for example, get all my salary slips? Do I need to open an Excel file? So how do I start this process?
Yeah, so great question. So I think first start with basics. First, HRA. Like if you have an HRA component and you pay rent, get those rent receipts in to the HR, because that HRA component is pretty big and the department is more and more observing like whether people are doing their HRA and what is the HR reporting in the Form 16. Because if there's a mismatch in Form 16 and the information which is sent to the tax department and your information, like notices are coming. So very important, HRA, tax rent receipts, give it to your HR. So that's part number one. Part number two is Section 80C and 80D. Yeah. So these are the big ones. So one is like, if your employer typically will be contributing to EPF, Employer Provident Fund.
Hmm.
So you can take a look at one salary slip, and if your salary has not changed during the year, you can just multiply those calculations by 12, right? And if your salary has changed or you received some bonus, like a yearly bonus or Diwali bonus or whatever your company does, so then it is worth the time to download from your payroll system all the 11 like pay slips and looking at the EPF, Employer Provident Fund contribution, and just making sure ki you account for that in your Section 80C. Your employer will have the proof of that. You don't have to submit proof, but account for it.
Sure.
Second part is whatever is balance from your 80C. So it'll be between 1 lakh to 1.5 lakh, depending on your income, because it's a bracket driven thing. You should like max out with various investment opportunities in 80C. It could be like a tax saving FD, it could be ELSS, it could be insurance, it could be anything.
We'll,
like whatever works for you.
We'll be talking about that in detail.
It doesn't matter. Like, sure. But you have to make sure you max out your tax savings, because like at the highest bracket you could be paying more than 30% of AR.
Sure.
So that you have to save. And the second part which I want to touch upon is like if you have real estate and you are paying EMI, then like it is eligible for 80C and house property deduction also. So I think those two things are very important.
Great. So now let's move to the, so you've mentioned a lot of heads out there for figuring out how much I have to invest. Okay. So now just help our listeners to get a priority out here. Like what should I, you know, you said HRA, that's going to go from my salary. EMI is something that's automatic. So once these broad, bigger heads are covered, which are, I would call the automatic ones, an HRA or an EMI or the PPF. How do I prioritize between whatever is remaining? Because ATC is huge, you know, then there's ATG, there's ATD. So is there a priority list out here that I should keep in mind in general? Say, okay, priority number one, priority number two, priority number three, anything of that sort?
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of a bunch, right?
Sure.
So in ATC, for example, the school fees you pay for your children, even that is eligible, right? So, I mean, if you have children and they're going to school, like you should actually think about like getting the pay, the salary, the school fees, and claiming that also as ATC deduction. So I think like it is that level focus that you should do on ATC.
Sure.
Now coming to the priority list that you're talking about, right? So in terms of like, first we have taken out the expenses, right? Which is your HRA and your EMI, which you're like typically taking as an expense or whatever, and school fees and other things. Now whatever is left over, right, the 1,50,000, you have to think about it from a whatever is the balance. So our recommendation, our thought process usually is first prioritize ELSS. This is an equity linked savings scheme. This has a shortest lock-in period of 3 years, and if you buy from a decent mutual fund, these funds are professionally managed. There's not much stress. In 3 years you can take it out, and you can allocate between different schemes. I mean, broadly they are similar, but you buy like 2-3 ELSS schemes if you are conservative, and then like it'll help you maximize returns. It'll expose you to a little bit of like what is called as equity.
Sure.
Because you may be typically doing a mutual fixed deposit, you may be doing like real estate if you have a EMI going, but this is another way to expose yourself to some asset creation. So it's a good thing. And like you will save like at a peak tax rate of 30%, like you'll save 46,800 in taxes if you max out this 1,50,000. Now the second thing to pay attention is ATD, which is about health insurance.
Yep.
So like typically, like if your employer is buying your health insurance, like you may either not buy, or if you are doing a top up. So if your employer is buying, that's not eligible for ATD. But if you are buying,
sure,
like that is eligible. And up to 5,000, you can also spend like on medical checkups and other things.
Okay.
So essentially, like the deduction available is ₹25,000 for yourself, spouse and children.
Okay.
So that is part of ATD. And the other part is like now as your parents are aging, like if you're buying health insurance for parents and if they're senior citizens, that is allowed for even more, 25,000 or 50,000. So broadly, if you're buying health insurance, it's a good thing. You'll get some tax savings out of it. And like overall good to insure, I mean, of course. And if you're buying life insurance, that will be eligible in ATC. So these are the broad things to keep in mind.
Okay. The only thing is ELSS will have a 3-year lock-in.
We'll have a 3-year lock-in. Typically, if tax saving, FD will have a 5-year lock-in. Insurance generally tends to have like 10-year window, and broadly that.
Sure. So, and all of these are eligible under the broader Section 80C.
That's right.
Okay. Arjit, let's just summarize. Okay, let's go into your specific recommendations for various, let's say, listener profiles, maybe something for a millennial, something for someone who has a family. Let's go into the specific recommendations that you have for our listeners.
Right, Anupam. So I think for a millennial, right, who's it's the first job or the second job, right, like where they've just started out and they've started to save something, and tax saving is important now. For them, our belief is like, first start with ELSS. Typically, the advantage of that is like, you're young, it's a short lock-in period of 3 years, and there's a potential for high returns. And you're already getting your tax saving upfront 20% or 30%. And then you also start to get a taste of equities in your portfolio. So that's like my recommendation on the millennial side. As we start to approach like folks who are settled down with a family, kids and stuff, the first few things, like generally the Indian profile is to buy like a house and pay an EMI. So with the EMI, like typically people max out their ATC, and so then there may be no space available. But even with that, like if you have a family, it is a good idea to start exploring like a ELSS for equities, National Pension Scheme for NPS, which is like you get a pension after 65. And it has a mix of equity plus other exposure. Then some voluntary contribution to PPF or National Savings Certificates, PPF or NSC for long-term savings. And like it has a lock-in, like PPF has 15 years, NSC has 5 years. But it is PPF interest is tax-free, which is very powerful because you are getting more growth, which is tax-free. So very, very powerful. And then like you can explore like life insurance. If it's something you find important, we don't recommend too much life insurance beyond like the risk cover. So we don't, we recommend like buy life insurance for risk coverage. So term insurance. And then that is also ATC eligible. And the other part is then health insurance, definitely buy cover as cancer and other things have become more common. Health insurance is a good tax saving benefit also, and good for your life planning. So overall, those would be my recommendations. Since you have, an older person has kids and stuff like that, like really round out the basket.
Fantastic. So Arjit, before we go into the break, I want to ask you this one last question to wrap up the first part, you know, which was aimed at specific recommendations and good practices that our listeners can have when they prepare to, you know, declare the tax investments to the HR or to the tax department of the companies they work for. I want you to wrap up this part, this first part of our show, with the top mistakes. You know, what are the most commonly recurring things that you see people doing which is really messed up? Something that can help our listeners to avoid exactly those same mistakes that they do at this time of the year when they're filing all this information with their company. Tell us about that.
Right. So Anupam, that's a great question, and I'll tell you why. Because we see a lot of mistakes here made by taxpayers, and I really want to fix that. And this show will help me do some of that.
Super.
So one part is like people sometimes like get lazy and they invest close to March 25th, March 30th. So the problem with that is the HR cannot assess the proofs and then submit it to the tax department as part of Form 16 information. So what it does is like the tax department is highly likely to send you a notice when you claim that deduction in the tax return come July. Mm. So our specific recommendation here is make sure you are declaring everything to HR. Don't do tax saving in the last week of March because HR cannot submit that information to the tax department in time. Mm. Finish it now. Give the proofs in time. So that's part number one. Mm. So and part number two is like we see a lot of people scrambling last minute to deposit like 1,50,000 or that much amount where they don't have enough liquidity. They don't have enough in the bank to invest this much money. Because if you're getting salary and you have rent and other expenses, you're paying your children's fees and all of that, like you may be not left with a lot of savings every month in the last to accumulate and deposit everything. So our specific recommendation is like, please start a SIP for ELSS or start something monthly investing for your tax savings so that you're not like stuck with a liquidity issue in the last couple of months. We have seen this with a lot of millennials where they're not able to do this. Our recommendation here is like whatever you have, like please make the maximum tax saving deduction you can at a 20% or a 30% slab. It is a no-brainer. You will never have an instrument which will return 25-30% in a year. please save on taxes before you start to do investing.
So you're saying people actually scramble in the last month for money to invest. Wow, okay. That must be tough.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some of these guys are millennials, right? Like they don't have a lot of savings because life in metros are tough. Like this is their first job or second job. And like people have aspirations. They buy like nicer bikes and stuff like that. But I think this comes in like very, very importantly. So I think these two are my big ones. And the third one is like don't be so scared of ELSS and don't be scared of like PPF. Look at them because there is no tax on the gains you make. So ELSS may like long-term taxes now come in, but in PPF also there's no tax on the interest income you earn. So pretty good instruments to evaluate. And long-term tax is actually the least amount of tax you can have in India. So very, very good instruments.
So just last thing here, just for 2 minutes, if you can just delve on the taxation difference between the ELSS and the PPF, right? Because they're both fundamentally different. Can you just tell our listeners how the taxation impacts both?
Right. So let me contrast with an example of fixed deposit. So fixed deposit, like you can make a tax saving fixed deposit, which can have a 5-year lock-in, right? Now that, for example, once you get the fixed deposit back with the interest, which let's assume there's 8% interest.
Sure.
Now, when you get it back after 5 years, right, you will be taxed on that interest income.
Okay.
And you will be taxed at the highest bracket of income that you earn. So if you're in the 30% bracket, you'll be taxed at that. So your 8% will become 5% in terms of returns because of the tax. Now, if you had put this money in, let's say an ELSS, right? The equity linked savings scheme is also eligible for long-term capital gain and not short-term capital gain. Long-term capital gain when you sell that instrument after 3 years, right? So advantage of that is the tax rate there is, I believe, public securities pay, like it's 10%.
Yes.
So it's 10%, right? So it is going to be flat 10%, and you don't have to bother with whatever your slab is. So if your slab is 30%, like imagine 3-4 years later, you start to earn more. You are paying tax on that. Instead of that, you could be paying much less tax of 10%.
Sure.
And PPF has no tax on the interest after the lock-in. So amazing instruments, people overlook them.
Yeah, the only thing is PPF is a longer term instrument. I guess that's what, 15 years plus or something?
Yes. Yeah, so PPF, if you start, like, has a 15-year lock-in, further contributions don't have that much lock-in.
Sure. Okay. So, yeah, go on, Archit. You had something to say.
So, my specific recommendation is explore ELSS, lowest tax incidence, move out of, start moving out a little bit from fixed deposits and, definitely insurance, look at it as risk and not investment. So, broadly, these three.
Got it. Archit, thank you so much. We're going to just take a small break. Listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this new taxation system that has come in the union budget. And Archit is going to tell us his take on how to approach that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the second part of the tax planning special. My guest, Archit Gupta, CEO and founder at Clear Tax. In the first part, we're talking about what you should do right now in this financial year that's going to end on 31st March 2020. In this part, the second part, we're going to talk about this new system of tax that came in the union budget just a couple of weeks ago that's going to hit your taxation for the next year. Now, you know that in India, the financial year starts on 1st April and ends on 31st March. So in the next few weeks, probably just after a month, we're going to go to a new financial year where the new budget will come in. And boy, that budget speech, just went on and on. But listen, Archit is the best guy to have to take our listeners into what exactly happened on the income tax front. Okay, so Archit, let's get into this. Yeah, kya hua ye? What suddenly there are two new systems, ek with exemption, ek without exemption. So quickly, in a very, preferably in a simple way, can you just explain to our listeners what has changed thanks to the new budget?
Right, Anubhav. This is a great question. And it has caused more confusion than any other thing we've seen in the past. So for me, it's fun, but I empathize with a taxpayer because it is causing a lot of confusion with the new tax code. And anyway, tax is not easy, and this will cause more confusion.
You're not even the best part is you're not even a chartered accountant. I am the one who's a CA, and you're saying that this is fun for you. Okay, chalo chalo. Jokes apart, chalo bolo.
Jokes apart. Yes. Yeah. So I think like so what they have done like in a simple word is like they are offering you two pathways. So one path is like your old path, which has been going on for the last 10 years, that you do what you were doing. And you remain in the existing tax slabs, whatever was your tax rate. And they offered a new system, which you can go into, you can opt into, where you don't do any tax saving investment, where you don't get HRA benefit, where you don't get a bunch of like these tax deductions and exemptions. And you are offered a less tax rate.
Okay.
So now this is very interesting, right? Like you have this one system which has a higher tax rate, but has more deductions. And there's this other system which has lower tax rate, but doesn't offer you that those many deductions. Right? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I'm just trying to understand how does this work, yeah? I mean, it just sounds very complicated, right? Because I'll have to probably open an Excel file, or hopefully ClearTax will help me in figuring that out, right? Because now I need to compute my tax liabilities under two systems and then figure out which one is better for me. Is that the right way to approach this?
Absolutely. Great question. Because okay. This is like super confusing, right? For most people. Like, so I think like, I think I can give a few, like, so what you've described, right? Like I have to see what is my tax in the old system, what is my tax in the new system, and then make a choice. This is exactly what you'll have to do. But I can give a few rule of thumbs, which can help you choose that without like going into an Excel.
Sure.
So the rule of thumb will help you. So if you were using like tax saving investments earlier, right? Let's imagine you had 80C, you were maxing out 80C, you were investing everything, and you have like, say, an EMI going, you have like HRA, etc., which is applicable to you. If you're earning more than 7 lakh rupees a year, most likely the old system is better.
Okay.
So that. And if you are earning between 5 to 7 lakhs, then maybe the new system may turn out to be better marginally. So I think for most people earning more than 7.5 lakh rupees a year, the old system offers more savings on taxes.
Where does the new system kick in? Sorry, go on. Yeah.
Yeah. And like what I want to add is like the new system is a different sort of philosophy. Like it is maybe more targeted towards millennials who have never done tax saving investments and are not looking to get in there. And they can directly opt in for the new system and like go into the new system of tax and like pay the less slab. However, my specific recommendation continues to be like these tax saving deductions were helping people form a habit around investing, moving their money from like their saving bank account to like a tax saving instrument, which was very, very beneficial in terms of behavior formation. Now, my suggestion would be to remain in the old system for most people, like keep claiming deductions, keep investing, keep minimizing your taxes and do more tax planning. So that is my recommendation. However, I know ki 60% people don't optimize for taxes. I have data on that. So for a lot of them, the new tax system will make sense.
So what about the higher slabs? Then someone who's at maybe 10 lakhs plus or 15 lakhs plus, does this new system make sense for them?
Absolutely not. So if you're in the higher income slabs, please max out your deductions. Like it'll work out better than the old regime. It'll work out better than this new tax slab, the lower tax slab.
Okay. I just, you know, at a philosophical level, and since you spoke about habit forming, what are your views on this? Let's say that it looks like the government is trying to now reverse their old thinking. Their old thinking would be ki save karo. We are giving you a tax break for that. Now it seems like they're saying, okay, listen, figure your stuff out. You know, we are saying, save mat karo. Yeah, save as per what you want to do. Maybe thoda spend karo. So do you have any thoughts out here on the kind of message that the government is sending and what you still think is preferable that someone should do even now?
Right. So I think Anupam, bahut gehra sawal hai. It's a deep question. So I'll answer like
I think you also will be faced with the same choice. And I'm sure that you also draw a salary at ClearTax. So something that you can talk from a personal front.
I also face the same choice. And like I think like philosophically, like I'll tell you, our team is deeply split. Huh. So there are two camps within our team, our company.
Okay.
So one camp is like very pro the new system, where it's like, look, here's a simple tax system. I don't need to bother with any deductions, anything. Just give me my take home and I'll figure out what to do with it. Boss, you stay out of it, the government. And you're giving like a lower tax slab. That's great. And keep doing that year after year. Right? Don't confuse me later on. Okay. Right? And if you want to walk the path of simplicity, please hold it for the next 10 years. Okay. So that's camp number one. Camp number two is like our country's financial literacy is very low. And our country's investing habits are not very mature, not very formed. We are a young country. Millennials are there. And like obviously our median age population of our country is 26. Most people don't know what to do with their money. We are like at the early stages of educating people about how to manage their money. There is a lot of mis-selling which happens of financial instruments. And India is learning in that. You had this behavior shaping, which the government used to do by saying like, we will incentivize you to do some tax savings. Now you're taking that out. It will lead to people not saving for their retirements, not putting money in national pension scheme or public provident funds or whatever they were saving away for their retirement. We will pay the bill as a country after 30 years, 40 years when this millennial population ages. So those are the two camps very deeply divided in our company.
Very interesting. I mean, there is enough reason to believe on both the sides there. If let's say that I'm earning 100 and I would have to block a certain proportion of my money, say 20, into these investments, which are, look, they are blocked. The benefit that I'm getting is that, of course, that I have to, you know, my tax liability will reduce, but it also reduces the cash flow that I have today to spend. So I get that. It's, you know, if that frees up, then I can use that money to do whatever I want, you know, and maybe I can even start an SIP with that, or I could just buy a new iPhone, kya pata. But yeah, I don't think there's a black and white answer to this question. I think we'll know more of this. What do you think in the next few budgets to see how behavior is changing?
So Anupam, like the sense I get, and like this is a sense kind of an answer, intuition, it is not like a, like I can't like be sure, right? But my intuition is like maybe in 2 years the government wants to do away with all these special deductions, all these exemptions, and move towards a simple direct tax code, which is like, here what you get, like pay tax whatever your employee cuts. After that, you go your way, we go our way, we are not bothering you. The system is clean, the system is easy, predictable, you have no babu chasing you down. Like it is all digital. Whatever employee pays you, TDS is cut. Done.
And that's a good thing. And that is a good thing. If I remember correctly, when the original direct tax code was thought of, and the, you know, when the thinking was coming out maybe 10 years ago, that's what they were thinking about at that point of time. So, you know, seems to be a good thing. What do you say to that?
So I am always very, as an individual, very pro simplification, right? Like the simpler it is, the easier it is. Like the government is out of your way. You can do whatever you plan to do with the money, go buy the iPhone or go start a SIP to save more money and invest for the future.
Sure.
Now, but like what I've seen is like, and like this is from coming from experience with both US tax code and Indian tax code. So I was living in the US and earning a salary there, right? So these were many years ago before I started ClearTax. And over there, they had an instrument which is similar to National Pension Scheme, 401k. So the beauty of that instrument and even National Pension Scheme is like you put away some money in the in a retirement fund, right? And you get it only after when you are 65. So with the unfortunate exception, if you die, it goes to before 65, it goes to your whoever survives you.
Sure.
But like most people will make it to that age, right? Now you have some savings, and that savings for the 30 years or 35 years with deep compounding is what is incentivized. And a significant portion of it goes into equities, or you can do put some money in bonds, right? Okay. Which is how the National Pension Scheme has been structured. It is deeply inspired from 401k.
Sure.
Now, the way the US tax system structured it was like the 401k, like your money is locked away for 30 years, 35 years, 25 years, depending on your age. But it comes to you and it is compounding silently, quietly. And you get to tax-free income after that amount of time. Now, here in India, the National Pension Scheme amount is very small. Like it's only 50,000, right? So that is a big problem to me. Like if you are going into this new tax system, right, where you are simplifying for people, like I think we should still incentivize as a country long-term tax savings.
Okay.
So this three-year this 3 year ELSS, this 5 year tax saving FD, this I think is not so great, and like doing it away is fine. But create those 30 year instruments, allow people to contribute as much as 15-20% of their income, sure. Right? And like out of 100 rupees, let 20 rupees go into the future. But then when you are at 65, when this our millennial population ages in our country, right? Hmm. As it has done in US, China, Japan, right? It will age at some point, right? You have like a deep safety net for at least the population which had the ability to save.
Sure.
Otherwise, you're not setting up any incentive system. So that to me is a big red flag.
Okay, understood. Thanks for that, Archit. Just one last question before we go to the last part of the show. Can a salaried guy shift between the old and the new systems? Ki ek bar choose kar liya to fir uske baad you're stuck with that?
No, actually, I think interestingly, the CBDT chairman clarified that you can switch between two systems. You can opt into whatever you feel like doing. So it's super up to you. So I think the flexibility is great. So because you get to make choices, and like if you don't have liquidity, you can go into the new system. If you have some savings and you want to maximize tax saving, you can remain in the old system. So actually, it's pretty flexible, right? So not too bad at all.
But just go on.
Go on. I'll go on a little bit. Like I'll just say, Kina, I'll make some recommendations to how to choose between the systems,
sure.
So that like people can have a little more clarity. So in a few things to keep in mind is like the if your salary is more than 10 lakh, right, you can choose the existing system. If your investments plus standard deduction is above 1 lakh 90,000, roughly around that.
Okay.
If your salary is like roughly 7.5 lakh, choose the existing system. If your investments plus standard deduction are more than 1.25 lakh.
Sure.
So these two are like the thresholds which can help the focus. Now, there is like if you have a lot of saving bank interest, rupees 10,000 is eligible in section 80 TTA.
Hmm.
There is HRA, there is National Pension Scheme. So I think it is worth your while like to spend 3 hours in the whole financial year, not like in the full year, just spend 2 hours. It'll put 50,000 rupees in your pocket. Yeah. So your maximum ROI, 2 hours, 50,000 rupees.
I like the sound of that. Ajay, just one thing. This switching between old and new is only for salaried guys, right? Someone like a concerned like me wouldn't have that luxury. Is that right?
Ha, so usme, I think like further clarity is awaited, but it was said like you can only opt in once. So
okay.
I don't really know what that means,
sure.
Because I really have to evaluate, because like we were also very confused, because like you can probably choose at the time of filing. So we were trying to clarify internally. So a little bit of clarity awaited.
That's the other thing, that you'll get to make this decision only at the end of next year, roughly around about Feb, March, when you're actually going to file your returns. You don't have to make the choice today. Is that right?
Yes. But like what you remember my second pitfall, that please invest ahead of the curve, so that in February, March, you don't have a liquidity problem. You don't have if you do have zero money in the bank, how will you invest? So invest earlier.
Yeah, because just imagine that. First of all, you have to figure out how much tax to pay, then figure out which system to follow. Oh man, that would be tough. And you don't want to fall into that trap.
Absolutely.
Okay. Ajay, last part of the show. Tell us what's happening at ClearTax. I mean, are you guys possibly developing something to help us to exactly crack this thing 1 year down the line, between the old and the new? What are the new things that you've got for our listeners?
Absolutely. So this is something like we are solving, and we are solving it very, very deeply. So we have a tax calculator today out there live. So it's ClearTax, search ClearTax tax calculator. You'll get that tax calculator. It'll show you how to decide between the existing slab or the new slab. And you can key in salary, your income, exemption, deduction, your investments, your health insurance, if you have any payments you do, blah, blah, blah. The calculator will tell you what to do. So instead of the 2 hours, 3 hours, I was saying, sitting with an Excel, you stop that, you use ClearTax, it'll solve the problem. Now, that's the first level solve that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Now we will be solving it two more levels, this problem. So first, what we are doing is like we are creating a ClearTax mobile app, which is going to come out after between something like March 15th or April 1.
Okay.
We are going to launch it. So it'll be the ClearTax mobile app, which will help people make these choices. And as payslips come, they can add more information. So it'll record some information and it'll help you intuitively choose between the old system or the new system. You will not have to think about it. You will not have to run any calculation. Plus, what it will do is, if you have decided to invest, it will help you make some tax saving investments. in the form of whether it's ELSS, whether it's National Pension Scheme, PPF, EPF, it'll help you do that.
Okay.
And the second part is like, it'll show you what is better and it'll show you some scenarios like, okay, instead of you filling in everything, it'll give you, it'll just ask you what is your income. Okay. And then it'll ask you a couple of questions like, okay, do you pay rent? Kitna dete ho? Do you do this? Kitna karte ho? And then it'll show you like recommendation. You can do A and this is how much tax you will save, or you could do B and this is how much it will save. So now you can choose. So we will like make it either even more intuitive at a level two. Kina, like you are not taking the choice up front. You don't have to understand anything about the new budget, new tax law, new slabs, new rate, kuch nahi. You can just go to this app. It'll show you like, here are some options you can do. And the level three is, once you decide some option, sure, our app will let you invest end to end. So you don't have to go anywhere outside. You don't have to figure out anything for you. Like, it'll help you complete soup to nuts everything.
Fantastic. So there's already the existing website which can help you with your current year's tax filing, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so that is very popular. Millions of people use it. Neha from ClearTax is super popular. Please use ClearTax.
Yeah, of course you should. Yeah, come on. Clear. Website is cleartax.com. The mobile app is coming up soon, in the next month or maybe?
Yes.
Fantastic. Folks, that is a wrap on this show, the Tax Planning Special. We covered tax for this financial year, which you will be filing in the next couple of weeks, and tax for the next financial year under this new super duper very interesting system that we saw in the budget. My guest, Archit Gupta, CEO and founder at ClearTax. Any queries, folks, just reach out to me or reach out to Archit on Twitter or on the ClearTax website. I'm sure that they will answer them. Archit, thank you so much for doing this for our listeners at this time of the year.
Thank you for having me. Really enjoyed the show.
Fantastic. Folks, that is a wrap on this episode of Paisa Paisa. Thank you for listening.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.